This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Joe Barton. He represents his state's 6th congressional district. He's a former chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee and is still the ranking Republican on that panel. We want to get his reaction to another major decision that came down against the Obama administration last week. Obviously, the federal judge in Florida ruling on the health care plan got a lot of the media and political oxygen. But Federal District Judge Martin Feldman has called a contempt of court charge on the Obama administration for refusing to abide by his ruling back in June of last year against the administration's moratorium on deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. We want to get the congressman's thoughts on the significance of this ruling and what the situation currently is in terms of energy exploration in the Gulf of Mexico. And, sir, it's great to have you with us.
It's always my pleasure.
Unconstitutional arrogance is what Judge Feldman used to describe what the Obama administration did in responding or really refusing to respond to his decision last year. How significant is this ruling on his part?
Well, I think it could be significant now that you have one body of Congress, the House of Representatives, that's got a majority that's opposite the political persuasion of President Obama. Obviously, if the president wanted to expedite or at least allow drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and other OCS areas, he would be pursuing an entirely different agenda than he has pursued. They had just lifted the moratorium when we had the accident last spring. They immediately, in a knee-jerk reaction, in my opinion, reimposed it. Then when they found out that what they had done was did not pass muster with the existing law, they, on paper, revoked the moratorium, but in reality, kept it in place in a kind of an ad hoc fashion. And what the judge is now ruling is that, they've been saying one thing and acting entirely differently, and they can't continue to do that.
So even though the official moratorium has been lifted, the fact that a de facto one remains in place, still, according to this decision and according to your reading of the situation, it stands as a defiance of a court order.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a legal expert. Just go down to Houston or New Orleans or any of the port cities that that have an oil and gas infrastructure for the OCS and just look on the docks and then go in and talk to people. I don't know the exact numbers, but since the moratorium was theoretically lifted, I don't think they've issued more than two or three permits at all. And, of course, that's idling tens of thousands of people. One of the reasons that oil prices are creeping back up is that the major area in the United States where we were getting new production was from the Gulf of Mexico, and you're not going to get new production, obviously, if you're not drilling wells.
What's the impact been in your district, sir? Your district isn't right on the coast, but it kind of snakes down from Dallas towards Louisiana and the Houston area. What's been the impact both industry-wise and job-wise in your district?
Well, it's had an impact because I have a lot of infrastructure that feeds the Gulf Coast, vendors that make component parts, drill bits and tools, various tooling and things like that they use out on the rigs in the Gulf of Mexico. And because of their work schedules, there are a fair number of people that when they're employed, they rotate. They're on the rig for, 20 days and then off for 20 days or whatever it is. So I can't quantify it monetarily, but it has had a negative impact. And obviously from the consumer side, when you see all, gasoline self-serve unleaded up in Texas at close to $3 a gallon, it's having a negative impact at the pump.
We obviously watched when this was a huge prominent story last year that the Obama administration didn't abide by the judicial rulings. Do you expect anything different as a result of this decision?
Well, I think the worm is beginning to turn. Again, with a Republican House, the president and his senior advisors can be called before Congress, and they can be asked questions under oath about these types of issues. And sometimes that has a sobering effect. Sometimes they decide to salute the flag and move forward as opposed to continue to drag their feet. So we're just now getting started. This week we've got several hearings on the EPA and things like this. So, time will tell. But I know that the new Republican majority in the House is serious about holding the Obama administration to actually implement the law. And certainly we're going to encourage them to do things that help domestic oil and gas and energy production in general.
Well, from what we've heard, the EPA has done a lot of what the Democratic Congress couldn't do last year in terms of regulations that would have been part of a cap-and-trade bill had it actually passed the full Congress. What about when it comes to domestic exploration? How many of these new regulations affect that, and what can the Republican Congress, or at least the Republican House, do about it?
Well, we can certainly prevent them by unfunding or defunding or not funding some of their proposed regulations through the appropriation process. If we can get the bill through the Senate and get the president to sign it, we can actually pass laws that prevent them from doing some of the things that they've attempted to do. And I think just by having the ability to structure the debate on the House floor on various bills, we tend to focus on the positive aspects of domestic energy production in a way that builds popular support and makes it more difficult for them to behind the scenes try to sabotage it.
Not to steal your thunder, Congressman, but if you get Secretary Chu or EPA Director Jackson in front of the committee soon, what would be some of the first couple of questions you'll want answers to?
Well, on domestic energy production with Mrs. Jackson at the Environmental Protection Agency, it's to ask her to quantify the effects on the economy of some of her agency's proposed or regulations they're trying to implement. The cap-and-trade bill from last year would have cost millions of jobs a year and hundreds of billions of dollars a year. With Secretary Chu, it's more of an exercise in, since you're the energy secretary, don't you think you should be doing things that actually result in more energy being produced in America by Americans for Americans? And have that debate with him.
Last question before we let you go, Congressman. Last year, of course, as you mentioned, just before the BP disaster, the administration had relented on the moratorium, seeing that that was potentially a good idea, or at least reading the poll numbers showing that American people are generally behind that. Even after the disaster, do you get the sense that the American people are very much in favor of additional domestic exploration in the traditional energy sources?
I think they are. I mean, you've obviously got to convince them that you can do it in a way that makes sense from a cost-benefit analysis, and you also have to show that it can be done in an environmentally safe fashion. The good news is that we can show both of those things in a very positive way, and it is not a debatable proposition anymore. Americans understand if they import energy, in most cases, it's going to cost American jobs. And in a lot of cases, it's going to cost more just in dollars to import it than if we can produce it here.
Congressman, a very important issue. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about it in the coming weeks. Thank you very much for your time.
It's always a pleasure.
Texas Congressman Joe Barton, Republican representing his state's 6th congressional district. He's a former chairman of the House Energy Committee and still the ranking Republican on that panel. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.